Okay, hello everybody. I am back. I am back. It's good to see you. This is Richard Mabian, and this is I used to call it my fireside chat, but is the weather starting to change on us now? So I may have to find a new name for my program. But it's good being here. Good talking to you all. It's been a minute or two. I was off there. The last time I was on was in December for my December show and my interview with David Corton. And first of all, I'm going to talk about the Breaking the Silence Conference in January. I think, as far as I'm concerned, it was an outstanding event. I want to thank everybody who participated, and I also want to thank those who wanted to but wasn't able to show up. But we really appreciate what we had this year. We're looking forward to our next one. I also want to thank Sherry Green. She filled in for me in January, my January show. Sherry, I appreciate it. I have heard nothing but great things about it. My better half, Uskari, had to have surgery that particular day, so I was doing the stand-by-your-woman kind of thing, you know. So I appreciate Sherry for filling in for me. Like I said, been real busy since the last time I was here. I was fortunate enough to be able to go to Washington, D.C. in the first week of February at the Good Job, Green Job Conference that's put on by the Blue-Green Alliance in conjunction with the Green for All group, which is Van Jones' group. And that's my first time ever going to Washington. I want you to know I did represent. I got a chance to go up on the Hill, and we did some lobbying, something I would have never dreamed I would have found myself doing. But I really enjoyed that. I lobbied our congressional leaders from the state of Kansas. I did see Melissa Hope there, so you all from Missouri, you did have a representative up there with you. She's with the Missouri Sierra Club. And, of course, the Sierra Club members and the Blue-Green Alliance member from Kansas was all there, too. Well, that's enough housekeeping for me because, as usual, I have, I think, a good show. When I was in Washington, I got a chance to talk to one of my Academy members, whose name is Danielle Washington, and she's from Miami. Now, the first time I met Danielle, I was very impressed because she was a woman that was about water. And, you know, for people of color, you know, I'm just not used to seeing or knowing people of color who are involved with water, especially to the extent that she was. So I asked her if she would come on, and she agreed to, and I'm really excited to have you. Let me read you a little bit about her before I bring on here. She is a South Florida native. The ocean and sea life has always been a treasured part of Danielle Washington's life. In high school, she attended a marine science magnet program at South Broward, I guess that Broward High School in Hollywood, Florida, where she confirmed her desire to dedicate the rest of her life to the study and protect the sea and its creatures. Her passion for marine biology has taken her to numerous adventures to places like Florida Everglades, the Florida Keys, Olympic National Park in Washington State, Costa Rica, the Bahamas, and even in South Africa to study the great white sharks. Now, you know, I'm saying all this about it. I want y'all to understand, Danielle's only 22 years old. Unbelievable what this lady has done in her life. Danielle, welcome to Echo Radio in Kansas City.
Hey, Richard, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on your show today. I really appreciate it. I'm honored.
Oh, no. I'm the one that's honored, and I consider this my way of introducing you to my folks up here in Kansas City. I think that you're an outstanding young lady. We're going to start in by, I want to know how you got involved in loving the water.
Well, you know, basically, I mean, growing up here in South Florida, it's kind of hard not to see the beauty that we have here as far as nature is concerned and seeing the water and whatnot. And so from a young age, I was blessed enough to have parents that were willing to take me out to the beach, to the Everglades, to the mangroves, to see all these places that are so unique to Florida. And from a young age, from around 6 years old, I fell in love. And I told them, I made a declaration to my parents, I'm like, I'm going to be a marine biologist. As soon as I figured out what that meant, I was on it. And so I've stayed pretty focused since then, and I just don't know. It's just an innate love that I have for God's creations, and so I just want to be immersed in it, and that's what I've been doing for most of my life so far.
Oh, that's unbelievable. You sent one of the little bios you sent to me has all the pictures of you being around all the animals, so you have a tremendous desire for protecting those species too, right?
Exactly, yes. I desire to protect the species, not only for their sake or, you know, that they look beautiful, but for the fact that our lives actually depend on it. I think a lot of people don't realize the magnitude of how the sea and the oceans play a role in our lives. I mean, it provides over 70% of our oxygen just by the processes that happen in the ocean. It's one of the major carbon sinks for our world, and also it provides food for us and beauty. And so it's essential to our survival. So I think what my main goal in my life right now is to try and bring awareness to that fact and to get more people conscious of that we are totally connected to the oceans. I mean, we are the blue planet. It covers nearly 71% of our planet, and so it's essential to life.
Now, I saw something about you in a television show, and you kind of explained that to me.
Well, sure. Last year, in the summer, I graduated from the University of Miami with a marine science and biology undergraduate degree. And so after I graduated, I was like, what am I going to do with my life? Because I knew I didn't want to go directly into academia again because I needed a little break. But after a while talking with my mom, like, we came up with an idea. And the fact is that I have a strong passion for children. I love working with children and teaching them. And then also my passion for the ocean. So we thought, why not try to do something really creative and do a TV show for kids? And so I entered a competition in August of 2008. It was put on by Roxy, also presented by Chic Quattro for Women. And they were asking girls around the country, what are you doing to follow your heart? And so I submitted a 3-minute video talking about how this is my dream to host a really fun interactive TV show all about the oceans and trying to bring the beauty that I love and the passion that I have to kids all around the world. So they loved the video, and I won. They awarded me with a grant of about $10,000, and it's been rolling ever since. So I've started a nonprofit foundation. It's called the Big Blue and You Foundation. And our main goal is to simply inspire and empower young people to become stewards of the oceans and the earth through interactive entertainment and educational entertainment that will get them excited about learning about nature.
This is unreal. I mean, I'm just sitting here listening to you. My fiance and I were sitting in the house yesterday after I talked to you, and we were looking at your website and some of the things you've done, and we just sitting there thinking how much we'd want our grandbabies to meet you, their granddaughters, granddaughters. We said, now this is a young lady we would love. We even trying to figure out how we can make a trip your way and have them drop off in some program that you're doing. Now you said, tell me about this television show. Is it on regularly?
Well, it's actually not on air yet.
Okay.
We are in the process of finishing our first pilot. We did a reel, like a sizzle reel, kind of like a teaser. We produced that back in September, and that's online at thebigblueandyou.com.
Okay.
But we're working on a full-length pilot, which we want to use to help pitch to different networks to see if we'll find somebody who'd be willing to work with us and actually put it on air. So we're just in the process of doing that. It's brand new. I mean, this whole thing just started up in September of 08, so we're still working on it really hard. So I have a great team. I have a PR and marketing team called Thinking Media, and they are awesome. They're getting the word out here in South Florida, and we will spread it out nationwide. I mean, this is one of the biggest steps, you know, to reach out to Kansas City, and I'm so excited. And then also I have my mother on my team. She's actually my manager, and she's the best. So.
I keep hearing you mention your family, your mother and your father there, and that's always a good thing to know that you have that kind of support behind you.
I feel so blessed to have family that really has supported me from day one, even though they didn't quite understand why I was getting into a field that nobody in our family has ever gotten into. But they've been so supportive, and they really one of the main fuels to my fire to follow this passion.
So now, do you do anything with dolphins?
Well, you know, they were one of the charismatic animals that I loved since I was young, and they inspired me to get more into the ocean. And, I work with them a lot. In fact, during my college years, we had a group called the Marine Mammal Stranding Team, and we actually rescued, rehabilitated, and released wild marine animals like dolphins, whales, and manatees that stranded here on our coastlines in Florida. So they were either sick or they, you know, something traumatic happened to them, or they had a piece of, like, trash or something caught onto their bodies. We'd help rescue them. We just, you know, nurse them back to health and then release them back into the wild. So that really, we had several interactions with different animals, different marine mammals, and it's really one of the treasured memories of my life because they're such unique animals, so smart and beautiful.
Well, you know, back in this part of the country, we just hear and see news clips of people doing those kind of things you just described. Never in my life would I thought I would have met someone. And then on top of that, to find out it was a person of color that was as young as you are. I'm so excited about it. So could you work in one of those places where the dolphins are jumping up out of the air and all that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm kind of torn with that. I really agree that we should have places where people who don't have the opportunity to see the animals in the wild can come to a place like in a sea aquarium or, you know, a different attraction site that they can see the animals up close.
Right.
I think that's but at the same time, I definitely hope that they're taking good care of the animals because they are wild creatures and they belong in the ocean. But okay. It's also important for us to learn about them. So I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I don't know if I'd work there. I'd work at somewhere where we're rehabbing, like rehabilitating animals. Right. I'd definitely work somewhere like that.
Yeah,
but
I think
as far as being a trainer, I'd probably not.
Yeah, I can understand that. That happens in some of the work that I do where you would love to be able to do it, but at the same time, you think people ought to be free and not necessarily trapped in some kind of system that you have to work with them on. So I understand that. I want to read one more thing about you. This is when you were just 20 now. It says you're honor candidate for a Bachelor of Science, double major in Marine Science and Biology, University of Miami class of 2008, environmental activist, beach cleanup patrol organizer, youth reading tutor, homeless volunteer, and then to top all that off, you're a model too? My God.
No, it's really... I've learned from my family, you know, that this is our one life to live, and so it's, you just have to go after what you love and
I'm
do whatever you can in the time that you have on this earth because it's so short. Do all that you can to follow your heart, and, you know, it's led me to all these different things, and I just feel, it makes me feel alive when I get to participate in all these incredible occupations and opportunities, and so I'm just trying to take full advantage of whatever comes my way.
you are definitely doing that, and that's one of the things that attracted me to you and also our group when I really met y'all, the fact that your youthfulness, first of all, and then your enthusiasm and the aggressive nature that you have for being involved in whatever it is you're involved in. I mean, we're talking about you and the ocean, but I know for a fact you are just equally as aggressive about the environment. You know, can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, like I said earlier, everything is connected. We cannot deny that fact because our Earth is a unique planet that can support our lives. And so... we have to keep this system in balance, and that's kind of our role as humans, I believe, as stewards of this earth. We have to figure out ways to live in harmony with nature. And so it's just that happens when people have understanding, and they understand what's around them, what they're living in. And so that's what I hope to do, is to bring about awareness to the general public about the importance of the environment, not only marine but also terrestrial, and everything that we live on, because it provides our food, our shelter, everything that we need. So, and basically, I mean, from that love, it's led me to a couple different things. And like we talked about earlier, the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. with you,
right.
And also previous to that in Oakland for our Green for All training.
Right.
And so I was led to Green for All, which is an amazing organization in Oakland, California, run by Van Jones, like you mentioned. And they're just fighting to end poverty, through creating green jobs, jobs that are going to help improve the environment and the quality of our lives while providing jobs for people who really need it. And so I believe in their mission, and I'm so privileged to be a part of this group. And, you know, I'm really happy that I got to meet you, Richard.
Great. Same thing. Vice versa. Yes. I'm glad I got a chance to meet you this way also. It inspired, it completely changed my thoughts about the environmental movement. I think it's a youth movement. And ever since I've been back from Oakland, I've been pushing that lever. That's why you're on the air right now. And I, unfortunately, none of the young people, they hate for me saying young people because it makes them say like they're 16 years old. But we have people in our organization that range in the age of 20, 25, up to around 25, even up to 30, that I really want to push to see them become leaders in this environmental movement. And I'm going to do everything I can, like I told you when I was in Washington, to see that even be able to develop some relationships with you. I know a couple of them have already emailed you because I think you all need to have kind of a national presence with each other because this is it's going to be your planet. And I think we all need, I think your generation will probably end up working a lot better than we do right now. I hate to see your generation end up facing what we did in the civil rights and not complaining or anything. But when we came out of school like you have, we weren't really able to get any jobs because the people who had those jobs wouldn't move on. In fact, some of them are probably still there. And that creates a problem because what you do is your younger generation ends up going to find something else to do. And I don't want that to happen in this environmental movement. So I'm going to do what I can to make sure you all can get up on the front part of it and be able to create and do what you need to do. I remember one time, I couldn't have this conversation without talking about, the time we were on a conference call and you had to leave because you had something to do in Liberty City. Now, for those of you out there listening, Liberty City would be compared to whatever would be the worst part of your inner city that you could dream of, a part where you wouldn't expect the young, beautiful young lady of 22 years old to be working in by herself doing anything. I knew about it because way back in the civil rights days and when things were going on down there, it was probably one of the most volatile communities in this nation. There was constantly riots going on and things happening. So how did you end up, Danny, in Liberty City?
Well, I mean, it was through a flow of events. I mean, my grandfather, way back in the 60s, he worked a lot in Liberty City. He ran a laundry mat company, like a chain, and also ran for some political positions in that area. So my family's history there has been there for a while. But what brought me to it recently was basically, you know, through Green for All, we're encouraged as Academy Fellows from the Green for All Academy to reach out to our communities and spread the word of this potential economy that we could build called Green Collar Economy. And create jobs for people who are in these impoverished areas that are high in crime, high in poverty, high, you know, and all different things, and create jobs for them to create a brighter future. So Liberty City, I mean, automatically came up in my head as the target area here in Miami that would be perfect for that. And there are so many kids out there that are just craving for opportunities. They just need that door out. And so they were having a meeting that day of the conference call for this certain area called Scott Carver Project housing, and they tore it down about 8 years ago. A company did, and they promised to build it back, but they haven't done it yet. But the good news is that there's a development company now that's been hired by the county, and they are currently working on rebuilding this area of housing for all the people who were displaced 8 years ago. So it was a very positive and encouraging meeting that I attended, and I'm hoping to get more involved working with them and in building the whole community in Liberty City, because it is a historic city for the city of Miami. I mean, it was a place of pride, especially for people of color, mm-hmm. and I want to continue to make it that. So we got to lift up the city once again.
Well, I admire you for that. I'm serious, because a lot of what I do is in the neighborhood like that, and there, I guarantee you there are no ones like you over there doing it. You understand what I'm saying? And we need that. I would love to see more people your age getting involved and coming out and helping some of us old folks transition, and so we can pass the baton, so to speak. And hopefully that's one reason I wanted to start having you and others on this show, and encouraging those people here in town that I'm working with to try to listen, even from their jobs or off their computers at work, because I want them to be inspired also, just like others would be in you. We had talked about our conference, and I wouldn't get off the air line without talking to you about hopefully getting you involved, if possible, in the conference in November. We made a commitment to have it planned, organized, and produced by your age group. And so I want to make sure that you're going to be able to work with us, even if it's from a long distance, that we can get you involved in maybe some decision-making or some advice or get your input on something we want to talk about. Now, you know, the conference is going to involve the breaking the silence on spirituality. And when I talked to you in Washington, you seem to be excited about that. How does that affect you when you hear that?
I love the idea. I definitely want to be involved for sure, even if it is long distance. I'd love to try and make it out there if I can, if we can plan it out. But the reason why the title really excited me about breaking the silence about spirituality is that I think a lot of people in our age, in our era, have lost their connection to spirituality. And for me, spirituality really connects to nature. And so I see the direct connection right there, that we could figure out a way to reconnect with our earth, and so that we could treat our environment better, understand it more, and be more connected to it like we originally were. Because, I mean, I know that our people from Africa, from, you know, the original, you know, human societies, they were very, very connected to Earth. I mean, their calendars, everything was dependent on what happened in nature. And so I think that, I'm not saying that we're probably going to go back to that, but I think that we should reestablish our connection so that we can, you know, have a brighter future for the planet.
Okay. When you speak it in terms of getting back to the Earth, how, do you see very many food programs going on in Miami area? How is the gardening?
No, not really. And I would love to see that, because we have so many empty lots that could be used as a community garden, you know, to provide fresh foods, fruits and vegetables for those who don't have a lot of grocery store and accessibility to grocery stores. So that would be great. That's a big problem. We definitely need help with that.
Yeah, that's kind of across the board, and that's something I hope we'll find more and more people pushing. I'm going to try to push it this summer myself, if not actually having them done, at least being able to talk about it, because with the way things are going as far as the economy is concerned, it'd be kind of nice if we start seeing people growing food in these vacant lots. If anything else, it could help us with our carbon footprints by not having to use up so much gas cutting these lots, because as it is now, the city has to maintain those lots. So they're out there with their vehicles going from block to block to block to block, cutting all these vacant lots. If we had people growing food in there, and that would be perfect until they needed them, and that would also put some food, like you say, some good food within walking distance of people who really need it. I didn't know if it would be a problem because of sea level. I mean, you know, I'm not for sure about that. You know, New Orleans, you can't bury people below the ground. So I didn't know if that would be a problem for growing food in Miami. Have you heard anything like that?
Not really. I mean, it's hard to tell. I think that we've got a lot of other issues as well here in Miami that we have to face, that I feel that most of our political representatives are tied up with those things.
Okay.
But I'm hoping that it'll come up on the political agenda very soon.
Do you get very much involvement with your political, like municipalities? Do you have very much to do with them, or?
Well, you know, I mean, since I've been on the Green for All Dream Team, I've just begun getting more involved with politicians here in Miami, and I hope to get more involved.
Okay.
To understand, you know, what direction they're headed and what vision they have for our city.
Okay, that sounds good. Now we're getting close to my time. Time runs by real fast on us, but you know, that's the way it goes. It's been fun, and I really appreciate you taking it, because I knew you were out working. That's what I'm getting ready to ask you about. What were you doing before you came on the air? You were involved with some water, with some kids or something?
Yeah, I'm actually sitting outside right now. I'm at the beautiful Biscayne Nature Center here on Key Biscayne in Miami. And we run these programs. They're called Seagrass Adventures. We have numerous seagrass beds right here along the coast on the beach by our nature center. And so we run daily programs with school children from around the county, and actually in numerous counties. They come down here and they spend the day with us. We take them out in the seagrass, and we take nets with us, and we catch all these sea creatures that live in the seagrass, and we show them to the kids, teach them about them. They learn about the natural environment here. It is a preserve. It's called Bear Cut Preserve that we're on. So we have all of our natural flora and fauna here in Florida, right, in this little area, and it's awesome. It's the best job in the world.
You got people sitting there smiling, you know, with envy, knowing that you're able to do that. You know, we in the cold country up here, so even though it's a beautiful day today because spring is on its way, it's just the thought of being able to have that kind of job is exciting. All right, I want to give you a couple of minutes here to kind of just give us a little bit more about your love for the sea, and then we'll have to say goodbye to you.
All right. Awesome. Well, basically, I think that, you know, it's more than just a tree hugger movement or anything like that. I think that this green movement, if you want to call it that, is a movement for our future and for our children and grandchildren, because we know and we realize that without a healthy environment, we cannot survive. And without good jobs, we can't provide for our families. So it's essential that we figure out a way to find a balance as humans, not only with the earth, but with the oceans, and not exploit our resources that we've been given, but to find ways to use them wisely. And so that's my main mission, and I mainly just want to inspire my generation and the upcoming generation to be more conscious of that, and because we can do it. We have so much knowledge. We have so much scientific technology that can give us so much great information. We just have to use it. So I hope that within the next 2 years and within our new president's term, or two terms, hopefully, we'll have more opportunities to reach out to the American people and the world to change our way of living and be more connected to the place that we call home, planet Earth.
Danny, it has been a pleasure.
Same here.
I thank God for having had an opportunity to meet you. I think you are truly an inspiration. And I hope we're connected from this point on, because I want to make sure that we can share a little of you up here in our Kansas City area, okay?
I hope so, too. I hope I can make it up there real soon, especially for the conference.
All righty.
So, thank you so much, Richard.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate it.
And go back to your water.
I'm going back.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. All right, bye.
Now I'm back on my own again, gang. That was fantastic, wasn't it? I hope to be able to do this, each time we bring someone on. The next month, I have for my show, I'm planning on doing one with some people who live in the Appalachian Mountains. They live at the place where the mountaintops are being torn off to get the coal out of the ground. And we happen to live here in Kansas with a place where that coal is being used for our coal-fired plants. So I want to try to put together a session between the people from the Appalachian Mountains and some of my Sierra Club folks here in Kansas to talk about that whole process of that coal movement in this country and what that means to us as people. You'll hear more about that as we go. I think I got a note here that's talking about the end of the show. I can't read this. It's telling me something, but I won't be able to read it. I want to tell you all, I really appreciate you for coming and listening to us. I want to compliment the Echo Radio people who have been involved with us, in doing these shows. It was a dream that has now turned into a reality, and I just really feel fortunate to be able to even be a part of it. And I want you to continuously turn us in. Let this become a normal stop on your dial. I also want to mention the fact that the guy that was on before me, this Barry Jackson, this was his first time. Outstanding. He was outstanding. I think they want me to read something here. So if y'all bear with me, give this note to Richard. Who's on air now? Remind him to do a disclaimer at the end of the show. So you just got a disclaimer, fellas, people. So whatever that's supposed to be about, you just got it. Thank you. Be able to be back next week for the same time for our next show.